The following presentation was recorded live at the River Worship Center in Warsaw, Indiana. We now join the message already in progress.
That's wrong. That's not in the scripture. As a matter of fact, as those of you who are joining us online, as a matter of fact, over in the book of Revelation, and we're not going to have you turn there, I'm going to turn there, I want to give you a quote. Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 15, and your Bible will tell you, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Anyone whose name was not written in the Lamb's book of life. How many ministers and how many pastors do you hear today that say, oh, we've all got problems. We're living our best life now. You know, and they're selling Jesus like he was a used car. Well, look at all the benefits you get. He's got heads-up design. He's got USB. He's got Bluetooth. He's got... Jesus plus nothing saves us from hell. And if I have to coax people, and if I have to convince people that if you come to Jesus, you'll get your dog back, your gal back, your car back. If I have to tell you that you get any of that back because you come to Jesus, one, I'm lying because it may not happen. But two, I'm adding something to the grace and salvation that Jesus purchased. If Jesus is not enough for you, then you'll never have enough here. Then I might as well just tell you like that pastor down in Texas, live your best life now. You're living your best life now. If you're living your best life now, you are destined for a devil's hell because it gets progressively worse after this. Our best life as the believer begins when we step foot inside the gates of pearl, when we step foot in and see the throne and him seated on the throne. My best life starts then. Jesus called us to take up our cross and follow him. It's a cross. It's a burden. People are not going to like you. People are going to cut you to scorn. They're going to mock you. They're going to threaten to take you to the church board. They're going to threaten to cut your pay. Don't want to embarrass pastor, but thank you for standing in the gap. You know, next board meeting we have, I'm going to put him in for a double raise. Honestly, love you, pastor. Thank you so much. If God hadn't sent you here, we would be like several other churches. No service today. No service today. Had to put a sign on the door. No service today. But God's put people and helpers here who care for your soul. Care for you sometimes without you knowing. Called your name many a night before the Lord without you knowing. We're going to talk today, and I'm going to talk to you just from the scripture, but I'm going to try to erase people from reading what they believe or selecting slices out of the, you know, during a Christmas party, we'll get one of those big old cheesecakes that have like 22 different flavors in it. Now, you guys tell me they're good. I've never tasted one. But I do notice that the turtle, pecan, whatever one seems to go first. Now, I don't know who's doing it. I don't watch and see because I am not envious of cheesecake in the least. If it was just cheesecake, blueberries, sour cream, and tea, I guarantee you I would stand before you looking emaciated, and then you guys would be saying, you know, you could have one of those commercials that say, feed the pastor, you know, because, you know, but that's not it. for me. But so many people read the Bible with their own personal slant. Oh, it says this, and that means I get this, and it says this, and I can do it. You know, you got to take the whole counsel of God. Is that right? And we've got to start reading not what we believe, but believing what we read. Because time's short. Because of the day in which we live. Do you realize there are people around us, people in churches around us, that have no clue that we're nearing the end? No clue that where we are on the timeline. No clue that Jesus is coming back. And if they do have a clue that Jesus is coming back, they want him to come back with a heads-up display, a Bluetooth receiver, and want him to have USB charger capability, and they want him to be able to auto-drive like a Tesla. Forget that Jesus take the wheel stuff. Tesla, they're going to take out the wheels, right? America has bought into an a la carte Jesus. America has bought into a smorgasbord Jesus. And they can take and pick and choose the parts of Jesus that they want and leave the rest along the side. Unfortunately, if you can do that with your Jesus, you have violated the first and second commandment. Not to have any other gods before him and not to create a god in your image. America has built themselves a Jesus that is only loving, all forgiving, and you can do whatever you want and still go to heaven. Sound familiar? There is no sin, there is no hell, but that's not what the Bible says. Your Bible says, Jesus talked about in your Bible about hell four times more than he talked about heaven, because it is a place to be avoided. And not everyone goes. Everyone can, but not everyone will. And part of it is to blame on the pastors that are so afraid that if they preach the gospel, that people will leave the church. I would rather have somebody be offended with the word of God and end up in heaven and not in this church. I told somebody this week, or last week, my goal is not to fill this church. My goal is to fill heaven. Amen. We were counseling with a fellow. And he keeps trying to tell us, you know, oh, but I got to do this, and I just feel unfulfilled in this, and I feel unfulfilled in that. And at this point in my life, I should be here, and I don't know why I'm feeling like this, and I don't. And the verse came to my mind. I must decrease so that he might increase. I have to decrease. I have to get JC out the way. It's not about what JC wants. It's not about what JC feels. It's not about what. It's I have to decrease so that he might increase in my life. How much Jesus do you have in your life? If you were arrested for being a Christian, would they have enough evidence to get a conviction? Hang on to that thought for just a moment. I know the Bible says, and the most famous verse in the earth right now is, don't judge. Well, I'm going to have you be judge and jury today. How's that? Now, that don't sound real good coming into the word, but I'm going to set you as judge and jury, and I'm going to have you cast judgment here in just a moment. Are you with me? Can you do that? Okay. Follow with me. First scripture, Matthew chapter 6. What a wonderful verse for this year, in our verse in the year. The Lord always gives us one. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things shall be added unto you. All these things. A lot of people just want all these things added to them. They don't want to seek first the kingdom of God. I mean, it's nice out today. The mushrooms are popping. It's nice out today. We could be golfing, fishing, all these other things that we could be doing. And then forget about his righteousness. Forget about it. We don't want to seek God's righteousness. Because when we send ourselves in God's righteousness, you know what? We look dirty. How many of you ever look over a shirt, you know? I do this a lot of times, especially when I got to go into meetings at work or whatever. I look over a shirt and I don't see something on it. But sure enough, when I get into the bright lights of the shop or in the bright lights of the conference room, I look and right there, it's like, oh my goodness, spot. It only happens to me. You've never got to work and got into a meeting with directors and managers and you had to look and oh my goodness. You know, why couldn't it have been over here? You know, we could have pledged allegiance, you know, but it's here, you know. A spot. You know, when we stand ourselves into the bright light, which is Jesus Christ and God and his righteousness. Oh, Paul said, what a wretched man that I am. He called himself the chiefest of sinners. Because when we look at ourselves, not through these eyes, because these eyes will lie to you. Right? When the kids were little, there was a cartoon on. His name was Johnny Bravo. And one of his favorite sayings was, man, I'm pretty. And why we laugh at that because we've all done it. Man, I'm pretty. Hey, handsome. You know? We will put our best foot forward in our own mind. There was an old country song years ago, and I don't listen to a lot of country music because I was force-fed it from the time I could understand what music was until I got my own license and got my own car. But there was a country song years ago. My dad had Waylon and Willie and all them guys on there, but there was a, I think it was a Charlie Pride song, and he said he would be a legend in his own mind. Some of us are legends in our own mind. Some of us, I guess the modern vernacular would be, I'm all that in a bag of chips or whatever you want to call it. But without Jesus Christ, we are nothing. Without Jesus Christ, we're going to talk about that in a little bit. I could make all the money in the world. I could be the richest man in the world. I could buy Twitter. Where would I be if I miss heaven? Where would I be if I ended up in hell? You see, death is that great equalizer, is it not? And the only thing that matters is, was my heart right with God? All right? Turn with me to John chapter 3. John's Gospel chapter 3. So whose names were found in the book of life are getting in. Is your name recorded in the book of life? And the title of the message today is, what would Jesus say? What did Jesus say? John chapter 3, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What did Jesus say? Unless one is born again. Let's continue with their discussion. This is at night, remember. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered and said, most assuredly, I say to you, or if you're in the King James, he said, verily, verily, truthfully, truthfully, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is the flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you that you must be born again. How many times have we asked someone, have you been born again? Have you been born again? There's a reason we're laying this foundation for you. people will either say yes, and it was the most wonderful thing that ever happened to me, or they will get mad and angry. One of my friends got into my face, got into my grill, as it were, wanted to punch me out and said, I was confirmed when I was 14 years old. I don't need that born again stuff. Well, Jesus said, you're wrong, sir. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he will not see the kingdom of God. I don't care how many good thoughts you had. I don't care how many good deeds you did. Unless you're born again, you must be born again. Verse number 80 says, and the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? Oh, I love Jesus' reply. Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Are you the teacher? Now notice he isolates it down. He doesn't say, are you a teacher? He says, you are the teacher. That tells us who Nicodemus was. Nicodemus was the teacher, remember? He was a man of the Pharisees, a ruler. And he was the teacher. A lot of times we want to skip over that. We want to say, well, he was a Pharisee. He came. No. This was the dean of the college. He was the teacher. Don't miss the article. The teacher. Not just a teacher. There are a lot of people that like to teach. There are a lot of people that preach. There are a lot of people that say a lot of things. But this one was the authority. And he said, and you don't know these things? You are the teacher of God's chosen people, and you don't know these things? How can you not know these things? How can you teach something from a position that you don't know? How many times have you ever heard here at the River, you can't give away what you don't possess? You must possess it before you can give it away. There are laws against doing the other way. Most assuredly, I say to you in verse number 11, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I had told you earthly things, and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? He will go on in just four verses to tell how God loved the world, and he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But what is missing from Jesus' message to Nicodemus? What's missing? Something very common for TV preachers and pastors in pulpits all around America today. What is missing from Jesus' message? Now, Nicodemus, are you ready to receive me in your heart? Not one time in the scripture will you ever find Jesus asking anyone. We're fixing to talk about how he fed the 5,000. Not one time did he say, all right, y'all have eaten and put everything away. Are you ready to receive me into your heart? Not a condition for salvation. Not one time did Jesus ever lead anyone in a sinner's prayer. Sinner's prayer wasn't even invented until a guy by the name of Charles Finney was having a revival meeting. He says, let me just lead you here. Repeat after me if you want to be saved. How many people have been led astray by repeat after me? Just raise your hands if you want to be saved. Not in the scripture. You see, repenting and turning to Christ it's a turnaround. It takes an act of volition, not an act of obedience. I ended up buying a Dutch oven one time at an auction because I got caught up in the auction. The auctioneer was going, he was rambling on, and I was looking at something down the tray, down the table. And I got talking, my mom was with me, and we were talking. She goes, "Now you gotta watch this, you gotta watch this." And I'm hearing this guy up here, you know, "One, now dollar, now two, now half, now to give me half, now half, who got half, give me half, now dollar." Hey! I'm like, oh. Mom goes, "What did you want a Dutch oven for?" And I said, "I don't know. I thought you said, watch this." I didn't even know what a Dutch oven was, Pastor. It was a steel box with a window in the top of it and an oven rack in it. What the heck do you do with that thing? I lived in an apartment with a newlywed bride. I mean, she did a great job burning biscuits in the oven we had. Excuse me. If we needed charcoal, I mean, I turned it into a briquette maker. Then I got some recipes, and I thought, oh, this will be awesome. And then I realized, not everyone can be the pilgrim woman, the pilgrim homemaker. There are gas stoves for a reason. And praise God, about that time microwaves came in, and hallelujah. You know, if the pioneers would have had the microwave, where would we be today? Somebody got it, okay. If the pioneers would have had the microwaves, you know, who would have ran the wires? Where would they get the electric? All right, anyway, just, all right, hang with me. That light bulb just went on. You saw that, didn't you? So, poof, you know, mind blown, poof, right there. Go with me to John 6:20. Remember, not one time did Jesus ever say, who out there would like to follow me, who would accept me into your heart? Raise your hand. Oh, well, you got your hand raised. Come on down. You come on down. Now stand right here, and I'm going to lead you in a prayer. You know, Jesus never led anybody in a prayer. The disciples said, yeah, Pastor did a wonderful job, didn't he? And after Pastor Kenneth was here, Pastor did a wonderful job. The disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. How many of you still been praying? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in JC as it is in heaven. You know, I'm not visualizing the earth yet. I'm visualizing JC. Lord, let me accomplish your will in my life today. Let me accomplish your purpose in my life today. Lord, thy will be done in my life today. We'll work on the world some other time, but JC needs a lot of help. All right? I'm using me because it would just be wrong to ask for a show of hands who need to pray that prayer. Your will be done in my life today, Lord. Lord, you know me. I've got tendencies to get angry. I've got tendencies to be short with people. Lord, give me your grace. Let me see people like you see people. Not dreadful sinners, but people that are dying and going to hell. You see, that's what God hates. He doesn't want, it's not his will that any should perish. I can't look at a lost man and say, what a filthy sinner. Because when I do, I have to recall the saying in my own mind, but by the grace of God, there go I. We're not better than anyone. How many times have we said it? As believers, we are just beggars who are in search of bread and found the bread of life, trying to tell other beggars where they can find the bread of life too. We're not better than. We're redeemed. We're bought back. John chapter 6, verse 22. Now he had just went through, you'll see up in chapter 6 and down, he's feeding the multitudes. Looked around to the disciples, and 5,000 people followed him out into a desert place. And I'm going to paraphrase it for time's sake, but he followed him out into a desert place, and some of them came to him, some of the good disciples came to him and said, Master, send these guys away into the cities because there's not enough food for them to eat. And by the way, you know, we haven't taken up an offering in a long time, and we don't got enough money in the if we were even to buy bread, and where would we buy the bread, and all these concerns. I grew up under Pastor Burkhart, and I got to tell you, sitting in the board under Pastor Burkhart, there were a lot of times he made people go. He made people inhale quickly. We're going to have a tent meeting. We're going to get a tent. We're going to have it out here in the parking lot. We're going to have a camp meeting. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And he looks over at the board and goes, "That's all right, guys, isn't it?" "Well, Pastor, them tents, they run $1,000 a week to rent them." And that's back then. They run $1,000 almost a day now. He goes, "We're going to have to rent chairs. We got a perfectly good sanctuary right here." And Pastor Burkhart said, "No, the Lord said to have a camp meeting. We're going to do it." You know what? Not one of those ever went underfunded. He had heard from the Lord. He said, "Yes, Lord." Now some of the deacons and other folks in there, they hadn't quite got along with him yet, but after it's all over, they're like, "Boy, that was the best thing you ever done. That was all. We ought to have to do that again next year. We'll have to do that again." You know, isn't it amazing when we just trust and obey the Lord that it works out for our good? All things work together for good, that those that love the Lord, that those who are called according to His purpose, all things work together for good. It may not sound good to me. It may not look good to me, but it's going to work for my good. I had to look at that in the face this week. Yeah, I don't know why I'm going through this. I don't know what's happening, but all things are working together for good. Amen. Amen. And God's going to work it out in our favor. Amen. If God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for you, who can be against you? Well, your mind can. Oh, I don't know. I don't know, Lord. You know what? If every time God says, puts a thought into your heart, a plan into your heart, and you start saying, "Well, Lord, I don't know how we're going to do that," you know, I've quit doing that. Not into that business anymore. I'm not going to question God. If I know it's God, and remember we talked about how to hear God's voice, if I know it's the Lord, it's full on. If the Lord says, "Jump through that wall," and I know it's the Lord, I'm jumping. My responsibility is to jump. His responsibility is to make the hole. We just got to get to the place where God is everything to us. Man, that worship this morning, it got to me. It spoke to me. Because I cost Him everything. God didn't get me at the Dollar General. He didn't get me at $1.25 tree. He didn't get me at the rummage sale. He didn't get me off a marketplace. Right. He paid full price for me. Right. I cost Him everything, Pastor. He spent it all for me. He didn't say, "You know what? I may have to save some because there's another guy coming down the road." He didn't say, "You know what? You're not the best model I've ever seen. You're not the." He said, "I will die for JC." There's not a one of you in this room that would do that. He said, "For a righteous man, scarcely will one die." But Jesus looked into my mess. He didn't look into my potential. He looked into my mess. He looked into my sin. He looked into the disrespectful young JC. He looked into the JC that was going to be a millionaire. He looked into the JC that had greed on his mind. He looked into the JC that couldn't see past today. Live for today. Carpe diem. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Me. I was making mistakes and racking up mistakes behind me, like those farmers were plowing the field and leaving a furrow behind them. There was a trail behind me. If Brother Bob was here, and if you're listening, Brother Bob, you can put an amen right there. There was a trail behind me like a Navy vessel wake. All you got to do is get in the vicinity about 5 miles from an aircraft carrier, and guess what? You can track him down. My sin was great, but His grace was greater. I have a friend, when I talk to him, he says, well, I've never killed anybody. My bills are paid. I don't cheat on my wife. I don't gamble away my paycheck. And I said, well, those are all nice qualities. But unless a man be born again, he shall not enter the kingdom of God. Verse number 22. After he fed the 5,000, he put the disciples into a boat. They were tired. On the following day, when the people were standing on the other side of the sea, they saw that there were no other boat there. This is Jesus come to them after he put them in the boat. He went up in the hillside to pray, and he was alone. Then in the middle of the night, Jesus came walking on the water. Isn't it amazing how still today, in the middle of the night, in the middle of your storm, Jesus still can be found walking on the water that is your storm. Isn't it amazing? It may not be amazing to anybody else, but it sure is amazing to me. Because who am I that a king would die for? Who am I? I'm still amazed. And the people standing on the other side saw that there was no other boat except the one which his disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. They were perplexed. You see, when Jesus comes into your life, he doesn't do it the way you think he's going to do it sometimes. He doesn't use conventional means when he comes into your life. When Jesus gets into your mess, he doesn't say, okay, now I'm going to follow your plan and I'm going to do this. I'm talking about the one who created the waves and the wind, and he took command over them and said, you know what, I'm going to take a little stroll and I'm going to find out where some guys are in a boat and the storms and the wind's coming up, and I'm just going to go out there and check on them. Has Jesus found any of you in your mess? Did you invite him into the boat? Did you beckon him to come in? However, other boats came from Tiberias near the place where they ate bread and after the Lord had given thanks. And when the people therefore saw Jesus, that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. The problem that we get into today is that people are not seeking Jesus. I wish I could tell you that was untrue, but it's not. People are not seeking Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? You know, there are going to be some people that are going to show up, and they're going to say, where do you go? We're going to invite some people. We've been inviting people. I keep asking everybody, you know, on Wednesday nights usually, hey, who you bringing this Sunday? And they're going to get here, and they're going to find Jesus here, and they're going to say, wow, Jesus, when did you get here? How did you get here? We expected to see you at the big church downtown. We expected to see you over here. But all of a sudden, out here on Highway 15 in a little building that used to be a resale shop, we found Jesus. Because Jesus don't show up according to your schedule, according to your plan. He didn't when he arrived the first time. He messed up some folks, did he not? I mean, Herod got some scribes and mighty men wondering, oh my goodness, where did he come? All of a sudden, some Arabs Some Muslims came from the east following a star. They'd seen his sign in the east, and they had traveled to worship that distance to worship him. And here the church was sitting, sleeping, right in Bethlehem. Oh, I'm going to give you a little. They're talking about Bethlehem. And aren't you glad that the prophet Micah, aren't you glad just the little minor prophet, you know, he didn't have a very big work, but boy, he had a very big announcement, amen. He didn't have a very great big, but he had a very big announcement. Oh, you of Bethlehem, though you're little among the nations, out of you is going to come a ruler. He got to announce the birthplace of Jesus Christ 500 years before Jesus was born. Oh, are you ready? If you'll be faithful over little, I'll make you ruler over much, Jesus said. How did you get here? When did you come here? And Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me because you saw the signs, but you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. You didn't see the sign. You ate the food. We are in the very same place in the American church today. As long as our bellies are full, as long as we're not sick, as long as we're not, we're missing Jesus. We'll come to hear a prosperity message. We'll come to hear a health message. That's a shouting message. Woo! Maybe it's time we do a Hebrews chapter 11, the Hall of Faith message again. And then ask, why is Jesus promising us all these things? And yet some of those were destroyed as martyrs and the world wasn't worthy of them. Why is Jesus promising me this and them nothing? Maybe I'm following the wrong Jesus. Read the Word. Get into the Word. Job said it best, man who's born of a woman is a few days and they're full of trouble. The only thing that we have is the hope of glory. And what's the hope of glory? Christ in you. Not that you want to accept, not that you want to. You see, you can't accept Jesus until you repent. You can't invite him into your heart unless there's a repentance and a breaking and a turning away from your sin. Let me ask you a question. How many of us, it's rhetorical, don't hold your hands up. How many of us literally can remember the last time that we rejected and returned and turned away from our sin and said, I will follow him if I have to follow him alone? How many of us have turned our face from the world and our friends and their influence on our lives and say, you know what? I don't care if I never become a millionaire. I don't care if I ever get in that club. I don't care if I ever get to play on that golf course. I will follow Christ. That is the kind of gospel that your Bible teaches. Forsaking all others, follow him. Take up your cross. You know, it's too easy for us to want to go back. Oh, I know what the Lord says, but I'm going to soften that message. I know that the Lord says that there's a heaven and a hell. There is no in between. There's no purgatory. I'm sorry, my papist friends, there's no purgatory. That was invented. It's time for preachers to return to preaching the gospel of the Jesus Christ who saves.
Yes, amen.
Are there benefits to that? There sure are. But I'm not a used car salesman. And if Jesus is not enough, then all the fluff will never get you in.
That's right.
I'm not appealing to men's pride. I'm not appealing to men's waning thoughts and attitudes. I'm not appealing to that anymore. I'm saying I'm appealing to your immortal soul. Where will you spend eternity? Heaven or hell? Had it backwards. Heaven or hell. Where will you spend eternity? You're going to die. These bodies have a terminal disease, and it's called sin. What? Have you not read Romans 6 and 23 that the wages of sin is death? You're earning those wages. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Amen. Jesus goes on, do not labor for the food which perishes, for the food but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. And then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? And we get a lot of people asking that. Well, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do to be saved? What can I do? There was a Philippian jailer that said, what shall I do to be saved? Right? Again, you don't see Jesus. There's a 500-pound gorilla in the room, and it's not Jesus saying, well, all right, who you want to accept me in your heart? Not there. Not one time in Scripture. He said, what shall we do that we may work the work of God? They're asking Jesus. He's just talking about spiritual and natural, and they're asking him, what natural deed can we do to obtain a spiritual place? And you know what that is? There's only one thing that you can do. One natural work that you can do. And it's not what you think. It is, I surrender. I surrender. I can't drive this bus by myself, Jesus. I surrender. I can't raise my family by myself, Jesus. I surrender. I can't pastor a church by myself, Jesus. I surrender. Not Jesus, take the wheel. Jesus, take my life. That's what he's asking. Then Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. Here's your sign. Here's your sign. They didn't get it. Here's your sign. The American church isn't getting it. Here's your sign. They weren't getting it. Right? Jesus said, here it is. You believe in him who sent him. That the work of God. Therefore, they said to him, well, what sign will you perform then? What sign? Jesus, prove it to us. I'm paraphrasing. What are you going to do today, Jesus, to prove to me who you are? Because, you know, I am somebody. I control people. I tell people to do this and this, and they have to do it. I am somebody. You know, I've got to, you know, I drive a big Ford F-250 occasionally. I am somebody. Jesus, what sign are you going to show me today? What are you going to do for me today, Jesus? That we may see and believe. What work will you do? God is not your cosmic bellhop. if you woke up today with breath in your lungs and a beating in your chest, there's your sign. There's your sign. The question is, are you born again? Do you remember? Do you remember when you were born again? You say, well, Pastor, why you? Well, because of the post that we put out on Facebook way late last night, way early this morning. If your name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're not going to heaven. I don't care what any TV preacher tells you. I don't care what any of the biggest pastors in town tell you. Unless your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, Nicodemus, unless you be born again, you're not going to enter the kingdom of God. Well, so-and-so told me all I had to do was repeat this prayer and I'm in. I saw a TV preacher say, it's just as sure as you're in heaven if you're there. He lied. He's lying. Not one time did Jesus ever say, repeat after me. I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer. And if you repeat after me, Victoria will give you some books over on the thing, and you can get those books for $10 a shot, and then come on back to the Compact Center, and we'll be all good. And I'll go on Oprah and say, 30,000 people came. I don't care about filling Oprah. I don't care about filling the Compact Center. I want to fill heaven, and the way to fill heaven is with true converts. You have to understand, you must be born again. It's not, you can't do anything. You can't do unto others. You can't do anything that will get you into heaven except surrender to Jesus Christ. Still yet, after telling them all that, he says, well, what sign are you going to do today, Jesus? What are you going to prove to me today? You know what's amazing? After you become born again, Jesus shows himself to you every day, and he shows you different things every day. Amen. I don't have to ask Jesus for one sign every day. I get to see him every day. Every day he's moving in my life. Every day he's putting people in my life, giving me a chance to witness to him, giving me a chance to tell about this wonderful Savior that I have. He's my Savior. He's my friend. He owes me nothing. I owe him everything. You see, American Christianity has got it wrong. American Christianity has bought a used Jesus. Low mileage Jesus. Not used very much at all. And I think if we work at it real good, why, we might even be able to get the manager to throw in a new pair of tires. It's time for preachers to start preaching the word. Not adding to, not taking away. It's time for pastors to stand in pulpits and say, there's a hell to be shunned and a heaven to be gained. And the choice is up to you. Choose you this day. Yes, today is the day of salvation. If you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Don't sugarcoat it. Too much sugarcoating going on. Too much sugarcoating. Too much telling people, oh, you're a good person. You're a good person. Oh, they don't come to church, but they got a good heart. The heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? They got a good heart. If their heart is not with Jesus, they don't have a good heart. If their heart is not following after Christ, they don't have a good heart, biblically speaking. John chapter 3. You have this one. Jesus answered and said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus never asked who wants to accept me into their heart. There was a song in the 70s. Crazy guy. I think he only did one song and then he became a Buddhist or something. But he says, in the song, and I'll quote the line of the song, he says, I'm not a sinner. I never sin. I have a friend in Jesus. And when I die, he's going to recommend me to the Spirit in the sky. too many people want Jesus as a friend who will vouch for them at the gate. I don't want a friend that'll vouch for me at the gate. I want one who, when he sees me walking in, when my foot steps on the street of gold just by the gate of pearl, will stand up. You remember the throne room scene in the movie Alphabell? You remember everybody came in and they began to bow before. But what happened when the faithful came in? He stood up. Don't you want to see the Lord applaud for you? Don't you want to see him extend a hand and say, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? We've got a shallow view of eternity. We can't comprehend eternity. We can't comprehend, you know, a bottomless pit, a pit with no bottom. The mind just can't comprehend those things. But they're coming. And if you were in our end times classes, you know. Jesus said, except those days be shortened, there will be no flesh saved. That means wherever we think we are right now on the timeline of eternity, that time is going to be shortened. And he's going to do it to save souls. I wish I had time. I wish I could go back in some sort of time machine and go back and find the younger version of you and say, listen, there's going to come somebody into your life one day. And they're going to say, repeat this prayer after me. Say, no, that's not in. Show me that in the Bible. Show me that in the Scripture. They're going to come and they're going to make all kinds of promises. If you get Jesus, you'll get this and this. And show me in the Bible. And they say, I want the one of the Bible. I don't want the used car version of Jesus. I want the Jesus of the Bible. I want the original version. I want the one who laid down his life for me while I was yet in sin. That's the Jesus for me, because that's the only one that has the power to save us and resurrect us and take us to be in glory with him forever and ever. Amen? How do you get that, Pastor? Let me close. How do you get that? It's really more simple than we think. I don't know why we tried to overcomplicate it with repeat after me prayers and all this other stuff. I don't know why we tried to overcomplicate it. It's really, really simple. Acts chapter 3, verse 19 says, repent and be converted. Did I skip down one on you? He says, repent. Acts chapter 3, 19. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Repent is a very simple term. We make it harder than it is. Do you know the human mind cannot process negative? It cannot process the negative. We'll do anything to get away from the negative. If I said to you right now, do not think of a baby elephant. The negative connotation was do not, but you've already thought of the baby elephant. We can't stop ourselves. When they teach pilots to fly, they don't say, do not strike the obstacle. They say, go 15 degrees here and 15 degrees back and 10 miles. Because pilots will focus on obstacles and they will hit them. And trying to avoid them, you'll hit them. You ever heard about the B-29 that hit the Empire State Building? Way before 9/11, a B-29 hit the Empire State Building. Now, that building was made of concrete and steel like buildings are supposed to be, and it didn't fall. if we try to focus on the obstacles, we'll be drawn toward them. That's why when Dad was teaching me how to drive, he said, look over the hood of the car and look two or three car lengths down the road. He said, don't look over here and don't look over there. If there's something over here or there, I will tell you. He says, because your hand follows your eye. True story. Back when they had open tractors. Anybody else besides me old enough to remember open tractors? You know, not these six-wheel drive, super, you know, satellite-driven, accurate to within 3 inches, you know, not that stuff. I'm talking about, you know, Farmall M's and H's. And you're pulling a three-bottom plow behind you. You know, we could always tell, we had one neighbor in our neighborhood, not in the family. Almost a slip. Man, his rows were crooked. And I asked my dad, now I'm just a little kid. And I said, Dad, is he got a drinking problem? And my dad says, no, he's got a looking behind him problem. Because every time he looks, his hand goes, and he, oh, better get back over. You know, by the time you start crossing rows behind you, it's a little late. When dad and my uncle were teaching me how to do it, my uncle said, he said, I want you to pick a point on the other side of the field and you drive to it. And I thought, man, this is awesome. You know, my rows were straight. Didn't know where the field ended one time. My rows were straight. Went into the neighbor's field. His rows were straight. But you know what cool thing happened out of that? At first I was thinking, man, that was something, you know, here I am, you know, 10 years old and they're teaching me how to plow and all this stuff. And that was awesome. But when I grew up and I got a fishing boat and I went out on the waters of Lake Michigan, do you know when you've got 300 yards of line behind you and you've got $1,000 worth of cannonballs and another $200 or $300 worth of lures and $1,200, $1,200, $1,200 worth of fishing poles. If you can't drive them straight, you're going to lose $500 a trip. I had no idea that what Dad and my uncle would teach me at 10 would come into play. I would see guys on the dock, and we'd be like, man, I got a tangle. Somebody can't drive straight. Somebody can't this. Somebody can't that. And all their lines would get crisscrossed. Have I never done it? No. Didn't say that. But if I did, there was a reason. You know, like a freighter called the Buffalo coming in hot. And you got to turn. Got to get out of his way. Because they can't see these little bitty boats. Even though you can get 11 people on them, they can't see these little bitty boats. Where are you going with all this? We need to repent and turn. We need to turn. We need to turn away from those things that are drawing our attention away from Christ and turn into those things that draw our attention to Him. Right? That object on the end of our field, and some of our fields are getting shorter than others, that object on the end of our field should be Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul said, keep your eye on the prize. That prize is Christ Jesus. Do you struggle sometimes having your eye on the prize? Do you struggle sometimes being motivated even to come to church? Do you struggle sometimes to have motivation to read your Bible, pray for others, and then ask the Lord, what will you have me do today? If you are, then maybe you want to recommission. Excuse me. Maybe it's time we recommission. And recommit our lives and say, you know what, Lord, I repent of that. By the way, the book of Acts was written to believers. There's a teaching going on right now that once you accept Jesus into your heart, invite Jesus into your heart, you never have to do anything. Well, that's true because you're worshiping the false Jesus. You're worshiping the idol Jesus. Many will come in my name, Jesus said, and try to deceive many, and they're doing it. So that your sins may be blotted out and that times of refreshing may come. Where do they come from? The presence of the Lord. You know what? I spent a great time yesterday. We did some work on the house, and then afterwards, you know, Vanessa came in for the ladies thing, and I heard you guys had a wonderful time. Awesome, praise God. Although I never got any of the pizza. Not bemoaning that fact. Just throwing that out there as a fact. And I don't know which one of you just thought, you don't need any pizza, Pastor, but that's okay. It might have been me. Anyway, I spent some time out in the back, and when the storm was coming in and the sky got purple, oh man, I love it. The wind came in, the gust front came in, and the temperature started dropping. Never got a drop of rain out of it, but I was sitting there looking out to the south, and I thought, you know, this is relaxing. It really was relaxing, but it wasn't refreshing. When was the last time that you allowed yourself the opportunity for the Lord to refresh you? We can relax all day long, but if you're not allowing the Lord to refresh you, you're going to need it for the days and the journeys ahead. Allow the Lord to give you that time of refreshing, because it happens in His presence. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. I'm closing with this. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to their heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, that you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." Who's the promise to? Me and my children. If I receive the promise, then I want to make sure that my children receive the promise. Right? If I receive the promise, then I want to make sure that as many as the Lord our God will call, to all who are far off. Some today are watching in Melbourne, Florida. Some are watching in Seattle. Some are watching in India. Some are watching the broadcast. To those of you who are far off, as many as our God will call, that's who the promise is to. You've got a promise. But Jesus said it like this. How do we get the promise? You must be born again. How do you be born again? You must repent and turn. Repent. You know what? Repentance is that big word. It's just, you know what that means? Lord, I've messed up. Lord, I wasn't living according to your word. I had an ideal in my head and I thought I was okay. But according to the word of God and that preacher, I'm not where I thought I was. As long as breath remains, there's hope. As long as breath remains. The problem that we have, friends, is we don't know how long breath will remain. We don't know. Sister Dean this week received her call to heaven. We were praying, we were hoping, encouraging as best we could. And I've said this before and I'm done. I'll say it one more time. There is a year. And in that year, there is a month. And in that month, there is a week. And in that week, there is a day. And in that day, there is an hour. And in that hour, there is a minute. And in that minute, there is a second. And it's got your name on it. And Jesus will call for you, ready or not. While it is still called today. You see, tomorrow's not granted to anyone. You may get a call. I mean, I expected fully to be back in ministering last week, but the sinus thing took us out. Think about it like this. I don't want to scare you and I don't want to belabor this fact, but what if the call would have been last week that the Lord called Pastor home? Not that he's just sick with a sinus infection. What would you have thought last week if the Lord called Pastor home? You see, somebody in your circle is dying every day. These bodies were not made for eternity. And I, for one, am glad. I, for one, am glad that this body will go back to the dust from which it came. Because I want to get one of those bodies in heaven. Man, I'm pretty. My papa told me this. He said, Jay, and his picture's back there and you can see him. He said, Jay, don't you look for no old bald-headed preacher in heaven. He says, I'm going to have my jet black hair. My grandpa loved his hair, and he was kind of a vain guy before he got saved. He was a dancer and a baseball player. And he said, Jay, don't you look for no old bald-headed preacher in heaven. He said, because the Lord's going to give me back my hair. You know what? I can only imagine what heaven's going to be. But can I say from a pastor's heart, I don't even want to try to imagine it without you. I don't want to imagine heaven without you. And so as we close this message today, would you think about what we talked about today? Will you think about when was the last time you forsook sin and you turned away from the world and said, you know what, I made a decision, my mind's made up, I have decided to follow Jesus, and that means that I'm going to turn away, I'm going to turn my back to some of the things going on in this world. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you that you allow my voice to make it through this. And Lord, I just ask right now that as this message has been challenging, that we make our calling and election sure. That we know for ourselves and not based on the words or testimony or witness of another. Lord, we know it's not your will that any should perish. And so, Lord, I ask right now, Holy Spirit, search our hearts, search our minds. And Lord, if there's anything there that's displeasing or unpleasing to you, or Lord, if we've never really made an actual biblical confession of our faith, if we've never really truly been born again, Lord, call us one more time. Lord, don't take your Holy Spirit from us, as David said. We love you, Jesus. And I thank you so much for your faithfulness when we're unfaithful. I thank you so much, Lord, for your gift of salvation when we're undeserving. Lord, we love you. We praise you. And I ask right now a special blessing on all in this sanctuary and all watching the broadcast, that we may all be reunited in heaven with you one day. Jesus, it's in your blessed holy name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. If you're here today and you want to make sure, maybe you've never made sure, if you want to make sure, I'm going to ask, Pastor will stay, I'll stay, we will help you.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you have any questions or would like to reach out to us here at the River, you can email us at study@riverwc.org. Again, that's email to study@riverwc.org. God bless you.